So what are we doing? Journey into delusions of grandeur.
I believe so.
Okay.
I'm standing here in pieces, and you're having delusions of grandeur.
It's a dark time for the Podosphere. Marshal Latham, striking from a hidden base, has won his first victory since forming the Journey Into podcast. During the battle, he managed to steal Rish Outfield away from the Doomsdief podcast, forming an alliance between them based on their love for Star Wars. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Marshal and Rish believe they have something interesting to say about the decades-old franchise, its characters, the players behind the scenes, and the new adventures to come. Clearly, they must be suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Delusions of Grandeur.
I'm out of it for a little while. Everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
I am Marshal Latham.
And I am C-3PO, Human-Cyborg Relations. Here, as always, is Rish Outfield.
Hello. That was weird.
Yeah. I didn't know you had an introducer now.
Well, I've never really understood what these protocol droids are for. I usually just have him wash my car.
Ah.
He doesn't seem to appreciate that.
Well, I learned today that C-3PO has a very neutral face, and all the expression needs to come from within. So he can be whatever you want him to be.
Okay, well, I want him to put two coats of wax on my car this time.
Got it. We're here to talk to you today. Again, this is Delusions of Grandeur. And we're here to talk to you about the teaser trailer that came out this week for...
Are you recording from a ferry by any chance? A barge of some sort?
No.
Maybe a steamboat.
That was my phone vibrating. So yeah, we're here to talk to you today about the teaser trailer that came out for The Last Jedi. We've both, I believe, seen the trailer ahead of time, but we're going to do one of these live reaction watching the trailer here live on the podcast. We don't have the video capabilities to have us sit here and watch it like they do on YouTube, but it's probably better off that way anyway.
Certainly, yes. We would hate to have an explicit warning on this show. I have no idea if this will work. Just tell me when to push play and we'll see.
One, two, three.
Are we supposed to have a commentary going? What are we looking at? What is that?
Look like a starfield.
Is the monster going to try to eat the... Oh, okay. Never mind.
Breathe. That's that island I'm going to visit someday.
Now, that doesn't look like an enhanced shot at all. That looks like... a real, with no CG, no effects at all shot. And that one there, too,
I agree.
With the splash.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm wrong?
No, I think that's correct. Maybe the floating rocks is CGI.
The floating rocks are really neat because it looks like when you drop something or something explodes and you're watching it in super slow-mo. All right, I saw that thing. I think it's Kylo Ren's helmet. What do you think?
I think so. Or Darth Vader's helmet.
And then there was something else that I don't know what that is.
Now here's a new type of ship, it looks like. Is that Captain Phasma?
It's time for the Jedi to end.
Hmm. There you go, December.
Well, see, it's at times like this that I wish we had Rian Johnson here. Even to answer just like one question. If I had to ask one question, I would probably ask a super open-ended question like, how do you decide what goes into a teaser, what goes into a regular trailer, and what you hold back and never reveal? What is the goal of a teaser versus a trailer? How much hands-on work do you do as the director of the film in the trailer? Or is there just a Lucasfilm marketing department that handles all of this and you go, oh yeah, yeah, that's cool. Do you make a list of the shots that you want in there? This voiceover that Luke is saying, is that for the trailer or are those lines from the movie? Do you have to select the shots early on and have ILM finish those so that they appear in the trailer? Or do you pick from shots that are already done and you're like, oh, okay, this one, and this one. This is great that these are already ready to go.
Yeah, that's an interesting question because...
Sorry, that was several questions.
Well, several, but in listening to the director, Gareth Edwards.
Of Rogue One.
Yes. Listening to him talk about the trailer, because a lot of people asked him about the footage that was in the trailer that never showed up in the movie, like the TIE fighter shot when she's up on the spire.
Absolutely, yeah.
When Jyn Erso's up there. And he made comments like that was the marketing department that decided to, they wanted to see what that shot would look like with a TIE fighter there. And I don't know if they would have gone back, if there would have been good audience reaction to that, or if there was, that they might have gone back into the movie and put that in there, or if that was just for the trailer.
Oh, so there was never a scene where a TIE fighter attacked Jyn on the catwalk there. That was never a deleted scene or anything? It was just something that they made up for the trailer?
That's the way he explained it, that was never part of the movie, having that TIE fighter there, which I thought was really odd and almost, you know, kind of false advertisement there.
Well, dude, there was so much, and yeah, I complained a little bit about it. There's so much in those three trailers for Rogue One that was not in the film, and because I'm friends with you, I'm incapable of watching trailers now. So I hadn't seen the second or the third Rogue One trailer before I saw Rogue One, and then that night I came home and watched, and there were a couple of things where I was glad that I didn't know that because it would have been spoiled, but then there were a couple of things where I was like, wait, whoa, whoa, where was that? And maybe at some point we can talk about going to conventions. I went to a convention really recently, and Gary Whitta, the first screenwriter on Rogue One, said that, yeah, a lot of that stuff was just on the day. Gareth would say, oh, hey, let's get a shot of this. And it, you know, not for the movie, but he just thought that it would be cool. And like, there was a shot where Felicity Jones was, she was walking through the set and they turned on the lights and he's just like, whoa, do that again and we'll shoot it. And that's like the last shot, I think, in the teaser.
Yeah.
Is her standing in a tunnel and the lights come on in the tunnel. And yeah, that was just shot because he thought it looked cool. And it was never intended to be in the movie. But yeah, that sort of stuff bummed me out because there was so much of it. It just made me think that there was hours of footage that we didn't get to see. And even when the movie came out, when it was like time for the DVD to be advertised, they kept using this shot of Jyn and Diego Luna, Cassian Andor, running on the beach. And she's got the disc in her hand and they're in slow motion. And I was just like, dude, I guess it was from an earlier version or something like that, but it was still being used and it just bummed me out.
I mean, I got the sense, because I read that a similar article about that shot with Jyn Erso when the lights come on in the tunnel or whatever, you know, on Scarif. And I guess somebody had called her name or whatever, or they turned her lights and she just kind of turned around and he just thought that was really cool looking. So he did several shots of it. And I think it comes down, some of that stuff comes down to, you know, what type of a director are these, you know, different directors. And he seems to be the type that just does a lot of experimentation, a lot of doing things on the spot, not having everything according to plan.
You had said that he has a documentary style of filmmaking back when the movie was coming out. You told me that. And maybe that just means get everything, get shots, and you don't know if you're going to use them or not. And then in the editing, you decide what's valuable and what's not. Whereas there are some directors, like Hitchcock was famous for having said that he had shot the movie already in his head. And now he was just trying to replicate that movie and all the angles and that stuff that he had seen in his head, and that the actual filmmaking was tedious compared to thinking it up and planning the shots. And so that's, you know, very, very different than Gareth Edwards's take on this.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know, you know, getting back to Last Jedi, Rian Johnson, if he's that type of a director, or if, you know, he has more say in what goes into the trailer and what doesn't. Or if it is, like you said, just the marketing folks saying, oh, we want this image and that image and that kind of thing. So was that Luke's voice the entire time during the trailer?
Well, it's Luke saying, what is the first thing he says?
Breathe.
Breathe, yes, he says that. I mean, it sounds like him training. It reminds me of Yoda. But there's some interesting soundscape, sound work on this. Like when they show these objects, you hear very quietly lines from earlier films. And I don't know, I'd like to see it in the theater where it's huge and you can hear everything. That way, you know, you can pick out whether it's Yoda talking or whether it's the Emperor talking. Or
Snoke or something like that.
Oh, yeah. See, I wouldn't know Snoke's voice if I heard it.
Yeah, me neither. Anyway, that last line, the Jedi should be no more, or there should be no more Jedi. If that's Luke, then that's an interesting take on the title.
Oh, that's why you were asking that. Yeah, I had just assumed that it's Luke, because he says, there's one thing I know for sure, right?
Right.
It's time for the Jedi. They sure make it look like it's Luke talking there. In fact, his mouth moves, and he's looking back at the camera while that line goes. And again, in the theater, we would be able to see if his mouth matches what's being said there. But yeah, I mean, it has to be in the trailer there so that we will ask questions, so that we will wonder, why is he saying that?
Well,
why is it time for the Jedi to end?
Well, yeah, and then you combine that with, you know, or she says she sees light and darkness, and he's saying it's so much bigger than that. So it's almost like he's learned more about the Force, that it's more than just the Jedi against the Sith, maybe. Maybe it's not just the light side and the dark side. There's a lot more to it.
Huh.
And I guess, you know, we've seen that. I don't think you're caught up in Rebels since we talked last, but, you know, they had the character of Bendu on the last season of Rebels. And he was kind of in that mode where he wasn't of the light side or of the dark side. He referred to himself as being in between the light side and the dark side of the Force. And I don't know if they're expanding what the Force is, or what is the purpose of the Jedi no longer needed? Is the, I don't know how the Knights of Ren fit into all that and all that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. If it's time for the Jedi to end, what has been going on for the last 30 years? Didn't the Jedi pretty much end when you went into hiding? Or is he talking about Snoke and Kylo Ren as part of that? I mean, isn't a Jedi the light side practitioner of the Force?
Yeah.
It's not just somebody that uses the Force, because once the prequels came out, we started referring to somebody that used the dark side as a Sith. Anyway, I mean, yeah, the way he looks at the camera there and he says it's time for the Jedi to end, that seems like something that you would have at the very beginning of the movie, where he doesn't want to train her. He doesn't need a new apprentice. He doesn't want to pass on what he's learned. Mm. He doesn't want to even be around other people. He's a hermit with no lines in the first movie, and he wanted to keep it that way. But clearly he is training her through the rest of the trailer.
Yeah, definitely. I would think so. She's, you know, training with the lightsaber on the cliff edge there, and, you know, he's telling her to breathe and channel the Force within her, kind of thing. So I don't know how far to go. I don't know if you want me to ruin or spoil Rebels for you or not.
If it makes a good point for us to talk about, then yeah, go ahead and tell me about it.
Well, it's something that kind of piqued my interest, because it's something that's always bothered me about this whole balance of the Force and all this stuff. But there's, I think it's the second to the last episode before the season finale, is where Darth Maul tracks down Obi-Wan on Tatooine. And at the end of that episode, Darth Maul figures out that Obi-Wan is there to watch over somebody. And he asks Obi-Wan, is he the chosen one? And Obi-Wan says, yes, he is. And so that would be Luke Skywalker that would be the chosen one, right? Not Anakin Skywalker, which I've always questioned, you know, who, the chosen one's mission was to bring balance to the Force. And I've never really understood what that meant. Obviously, it's not numbers because there's two Sith and several hundred Jedi. So it's a balance between the light and the dark. But how is that defined? And if Luke is the chosen one rather than Darth Vader or Anakin. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Who is the chosen one and why is it necessary?
Well, yeah, ever since we heard that line in 1998, it was my understanding that Anakin is the chosen one. Because he destroys the Emperor at the end of Return of the Jedi. But that's never clarified. And, you know, there's never a line where it says, the balance of the Force has been restored.
Right.
So it's possible, it's feasible that still has to be done. And Luke is the one to do it in, you know, episode 9 or something like that. But, yeah, honestly, I think it's just open to interpretation. There's no correct answer. And if anybody comes up with a definitive answer, it's just their take on it. And they're in a position of authority and are able to say, okay, yeah, Rey is the chosen one. Rey was the chosen one that Mace Windu was talking about in 1999. Okay, how is that possible, though? Well, you know, the Force, the will of the Force. All right.
Yeah, so I didn't know if this trailer, you know, the Jedi needed to be no more or whatever. Is that because it's gone beyond just having Jedi and Sith against one another? Or is there a bigger scope to the Force now that Luke is aware of that we don't need Jedi anymore? I don't know. Or is it just playing tricks to get us interested in talking about it?
Well, it's working.
It is working. We're talking about it.
Yeah, that's probably the line that the most people are talking about with, you know, because there's been a lot of talk about, well, who's the last Jedi? And yeah, I just assume that Luke Skywalker is the last Jedi and, you know, maybe he can make more. But some people are sure that Rey is the last Jedi. And I'm like, okay, that's fine, too. I don't care either way. Why can't it be Finn? Come on, let Finn be the last Jedi, kids. Come on.
Well, yeah, Finn, we still don't know. I mean, obviously he's in it, but he's still incapacitated, at least in this trailer that we see.
Yeah, do we only ever see him in that one shot and he's like in some kind of tank?
Yeah, that's all we see of him. And then we see Poe with BB-8.
Yeah, he's got a bigger part in the teaser than Finn does. And yeah, you mentioned when we were watching it just a second ago, hey, is that Captain Phasma? So while we were talking, I watched it again slower. And yeah, that's got to be Captain Phasma, although she looks slightly different. We only see her for, what, 3/4 of a second. But from the lighting, it looks like maybe the helmet is different or something. They want us to speculate about this and chat and go over it again and again and tell all our friends and do reaction videos.
And we're doing it.
And become attached to these characters even before we've met them. And yeah, I find myself falling into that trap as well. It's something to talk about and it's fun to hear other people's opinions and, you know, it gives you something to look forward to. I think that's a really cool thing. Big was telling me the other day, well, why do we even need a Star Wars teaser? You're going to go see it. I'm going to go see it. Everybody's going to go see it. And it's like, yeah, I understand. But there's like little stepping stones to get people constantly talking about it and, I don't know.
Yeah, they have to get the same number of tickets that Force Awakens did, right?
That seems unlikely.
Yeah, I think that was...
The anticipation for Force Awakens was really high. We hadn't had a Star Wars movie in 10 years, unless you count the Clone Wars animated film. And now we've had 3 in 3 years. So my guess is the anticipation will be lower, but tickets cost more. There are more theaters. It can still make a gazillion dollars its opening weekend. And there's no way it's going to not do well.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever capture that same genie in the bottle that they did with Force Awakens.
But they don't have to. As long as 90% of the people who went and saw Okay, sorry. As long as 60% of the people who went and saw Force Awakens go see it, it's going to be a huge hit.
You know, you and Big have talked about Star Wars isn't going to be special anymore, and that is kind of sad. In my opinion, the smart thing to do would be to do episode, 7, 8, and 9 and have some of these interstitial movies in between, but then take a break for a while and not make any Star Wars, or at least, plan out something in 3 years or something like that. But I doubt if Disney or could be that patient now that they have this franchise going forward.
If they do decide to let the ground lay fallow for a while, it's just letting money go.
Yeah.
I mean, these movies are guaranteed blockbusters. And after doing 5 movies in 5 years, the idea that they would say, oh, okay, well, we're going to give it a break for a couple of years seems ludicrous. But what will happen after episode 9? If you had to wager on it, would there just be an episode 10 a couple years after that? Or is that it for the, what do they call them? The saga films.
Yeah.
And everything is going to be anthology films for a while.
I don't know. I think it really kind of depends. I mean, Rogue One was obviously a success. And if Han Solo does as well, which I'm sure it will, then, do they go into a trilogy of Han Solo film? Or do they do Obi-Wan that they've speculated on, or Yoda that they talked about a long time ago? Or I guess that's what they're planning right now, or figuring things out like that.
Well, the Star Wars Celebration, the one in, where is it?
Orlando.
Has just happened. Have there been any announcements about the future other than the fact that Star Wars Rebels is going to be no more?
No, I haven't seen anything like that. I haven't watched. I watched a few panels from Celebration, but nothing. Didn't seem like anything new was announced. And I guess just to let the listeners know, there will be a season 4 of Rebels, but that will be the final season.
Was there a reason for that? Did Dave Filoni just say, well, we always only wanted to do 4, or...
Yeah, I don't know if they have another animated series in the works. I would have thought they would have done at least 5 years, because I think Rebels was 5 years out from when New Hope started. So if they did 5 years of Rebels, that would put them right into Rogue One, and then go on from there. But I guess its purpose is to lead up to the Rogue One and the original trilogy. But they'll be a year missing if I have my math right. Or it's down to Hera and Chopper, and everybody else is dead at that point. I don't know.
That seems unlikely to me, because in my mind, Rebels is 4 children. But I don't know. Well, I guess we will see. I know Clone Wars. How many seasons did Clone Wars go?
6 seasons, but the 6th one was pretty short, and it was only on Netflix.
So it went for like 5.5.
Yeah.
And then they had started work on a 6th season. The show got canceled. They released those episodes direct to video, but they had no intention of the show being over. There were lots of stories still to go. In fact, I remember that Dark Disciple book that... I want to say Christy Golden, is that her name? Wrote, was based on 3 scripts for the Clone Wars that never got made.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, they had intended to keep going with that, and it sounds like they had a ton of stories they still could tell. And I think I remember hearing about characters that were going to be introduced that were going to be significant, that we'd be like, oh, wow, I know that guy. And, oh, he was going to be on the show? And, yeah, it never happened.
Huh.
And that was because Disney bought Lucasfilm and sort of put a stop to it? Or did we ever get a definitive answer as to why Clone Wars went away?
I think so. I think because that was on Cartoon Network. And I think when Disney bought Lucasfilm, that kind of fell through. And then they finished it off on Netflix. And then now we have Rebels on Disney XD. But it's kind of interesting, how it's all kind of, coming into one thing, where... Who knows what in Rebels is setting things up for the sequel trilogy or vice versa. Well, probably not vice versa, but because they all know what's coming in The Last Jedi. And so are they setting things up like Bendu or other things, other concepts to get us prepared for what's coming in the future? That's interesting to find out.
Well, the cartoon definitely did affect Rogue One, with the ships that were introduced in Rogue One being on there.
Yeah.
And so it's possible that, yes, the movies, even though the movies take place 30-something years after Rebels, that characters and aliens and ships and locales could show up on Rebels.
Yeah.
That came from the sequel trilogy. There's so much content, so much fun stuff. Somebody on the internet the other day was talking about the Marvel Comics series of Darth Vader, and that it picks up after the Death Star has been destroyed and tells us sort of what happens with the Imperial leaders, the people that were in that briefing with Tarkin, now that Tarkin is gone, and how many of those are dead, and how the hierarchy of the Empire works now that they're all gone. And I thought, wow, I'd really like to read that. I probably never will, but I'd like to.
Yeah, I haven't read any of those either, and I probably won't. But they a lot of people are talking about this new character that came out of that Darth Vader comic, Dr. Alpha or something like that. It's a woman character, obviously from the Empire or the Dark Side or whatever. And she has like a black protocol droid, but everybody's kind of excited about that character. And she has her own comic now. And sounds like they're doing interesting stuff over there.
Huh. Yeah, that stuff is cool. And you never know who's going to be a breakout character. I remember there was a guy, and you may know his name. There was a guy who was an extra in The Phantom Menace. He was just some guy on the Tatooine set. And the Lucasfilm people took his picture, and somebody somewhere liked it and said, oh, you know, what if this guy is a Jedi and he's hanging out on Tatooine? And they made up this whole backstory for him, and he ended up being a character that sort of took on a life of his own. And I want to say his name's Quinlan Vos. Does that sound right?
Quinlan Vos.
He sort of has black dreadlocks.
Was he in Clone Wars, or was he just in the novels?
I would assume he was in Clone Wars as well, because he's on the cover of that Dark Disciple book.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, yeah, he was just an extra that somebody paid attention to and said, oh, this guy's interesting. Let's develop him. And other people thought that was interesting, too. I remember for a little while, it was like a year, Ara Singh was really popular. And people were like, oh, gosh, I wonder who she's going to be in the next prequel. And she had her own like line of comics and action figures. And what was the name of the bald Sith chick in the Tartakovsky animated show? Asajj Ventress. Yeah, for a little while there, she was really popular. She, I'm assuming, is all over the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yes, right? Yeah, she's in there quite a bit.
Yeah, like I said, you never know who's going to break out, who people are going to embrace. Like when Hondo Inaka was on Rebels.
Yes.
I was just like, wow, this guy's a really charming character. And clearly somebody who made Clone Wars liked Hondo Inaka enough to say, hey, let's get this guy back for Rebels and we'll bring him back in a big way and have him in 3, 4, 5, 6 episodes.
Yeah, he was in every season probably of Clone Wars. There was a story or two with him involved in it. Yeah, and Ventress was an interesting character. At first, I didn't like her. So I'm like, oh, they just needed, like when the movie came out, Clone Wars movie, like, oh, they just needed another dark side character. So they created this, you know, Ventress person or whatever. And I wasn't too excited about her. But, you know, watching Clone Wars, she does kind of take on her own persona and you kind of get interested in what she's doing. And
do they kill her off on the Clone Wars?
No, I think she's still alive. But she was in a kind of on her own, kind of a rogue person, bounty hunter type character by the end.
Well, have we seen, besides Saw Gerrera, have we seen anybody from the cartoons show up in the live-action films? I guess Chopper.
Yeah, Chopper was in there, yeah.
But that's just a tiny shot. I never saw him when I saw the movie in the theater.
Yeah, I can pick him out now because I've watched videos that tell me where he's at, but other than that, I didn't see him. I don't think so. I don't think there's anybody. Yeah, you know, that'd be interesting to have, like, Hondo Inaka show up in the Han movie or something like that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, the story group, these people that work for Lucasfilm, we talked about them in the last episode. They're in charge of keeping the universe coherent, answering questions, so things are consistent from one project to the other. If somebody mentions something in a book, they don't want something to pop up in a cartoon episode or a comic book that contradicts that book.
Right.
And it's these guys' job to think about things and say yes or no, or, oh, you know, it would be better if you changed this to this. Just to try and keep consistency, to keep there from being too many contradictions and mistakes and things that do an about face from what's been said before. And some of these guys have their own, like, little favorite characters or favorite species, and they push to get these things put in episodes and to see if maybe we can get the hammerhead ship from Rebels in this new movie and things like that. I've gone to a couple of panels where these guys talk, the people that are in the Brain Trust. What is it called? Just the story group?
Just the story group, yeah.
And one of them was talking about in Return of the Jedi, in the space battle, there was a shot with a ship that you only see in one shot. And I guess Ken Ralston had put that ship in there and then the model was damaged or the lights didn't work in the model or whatever. So they just sort of set it aside and never used it again. And it's only in one shot. And so they did all that they could to find out what this ship was, what it looked like, to get like close up pictures of it, to find the actual model and then do a scan of it. And it's one of the ships that's in Rogue One during that battle, the big space battle with the Mon Calamari cruiser and stuff like that. And he just talked about it, that it was sort of a pet project with him to get this ship on the screen so that you could see it. And I love that kind of thing. There was a different guy on the story group that said, and he said the name of the species. And I'm sorry, I'm a diehard Star Wars fan, but I'm not that diehard that I don't know what species Pruneface was. But he said, I've been dying to get Pruneface's species in Rebels because I had that action figure as a kid and I was just like, where are these guys in the movie? So I every time we have a meeting, I'm like, okay, the so-and-sos need to be, can we get one in the background? And sometimes he gets outvoted, but he's consistently trying to get more prune faces. And it just, that sort of thing is delightful when I hear about it, because it's just like, okay, you like this, and eventually that's going to get shown because you're in a position to do something about it.
Well, it is interesting. You know, I think, you know, Clone Wars is the animation or whatever, not Clone Wars, Rebels. You know, they're either growing their library of characters or models or whatever. You know, in the first season, there's a lot of whatever Greedo's race is. I can't remember.
The Rodians.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Ithorians and things like that, you know, that show up, Godels that show up quite a bit.
That are just walking around in the background,
you mean? Yeah, yeah. But now there seems to be a lot more different types of characters, different species and things like that. So they're probably just building up their CGI models or whatever, but it is getting more and more diverse, and that's kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, and one more that I've heard, and this wasn't from a convention, but Dave Filoni, I guess he's the head, the showrunner, maybe.
Yeah.
Of both Star Wars Rebels and the Clone Wars. Is it fair to say he's the showrunner?
Yeah, yep, definitely. He recently got a new title, but I can't remember what it was.
He just really liked the clones, particularly Captain Rex. And he was always pushing for Captain Rex to show up again in Rebels. And then once he did, you know, he's in like every other episode of the most recent season. And he said recently that Captain Rex not only survives through all of this, but he's in Return of the Jedi. There's an older Rebel trooper on Endor that has a beard. And he said he purposely changed Captain Rex's look to match this guy.
Huh.
So that you could point to him and say, hey, there's Captain Rex right there in Return of the Jedi. And I don't have a problem with that. I guess I can see if you don't like the cartoons or something like that, and you're just like, hey, don't do that, guys.
Right. But then it doesn't matter because you're not going to watch them. Yeah.
But for something like that, to me, it's just amusing that there was a guy with a white beard. And now you can say, oh, nope, that's Captain Rex right there on Endor. He's helping Han take down the shield generator. And, you know, that's what you need a story group for. That's what you need a bunch of people that care and they know all this stuff and they love it as much as we do, if not more.
You know, it must be hard to keep track of, especially right now when so much is going on, you know, to keep track of that and, you know, make sure that there aren't any discrepancies and things like that. There was an episode of Rebels this season where like a robot, Thrawn had sent out a bunch of different robot hunters or whatever to go look at different planets and, you know, see what came back. And it wasn't a probe droid, but it was a almost like a protocol droid, but then it would turn into this massive, you know, killing machine or whatever and take out whatever it found and report back. So, you know, I watched that episode, and then after every episode comes out, StarWars.com has what they call the Rebels Recon, where they kind of talk to the creators and Dave Filoni and Pablo and stuff about what happened in that episode. And Dave Filoni said that one of the things he regretted, if he would have thought a little bit ahead and realized where it was going to come after Rogue One came out, that they probably would have made the robot that they went up against, you know, the same model as K2SO, because that would have made sense. That was the Imperial, you know, droid of that time period or whatever. But, you know, by that time it was too late, and they had this other model of robot, which was pretty cool. But it would have been kind of a neat tie-in, too, to have a K2SO robot, the one that they went up against.
Yeah, but it's not too late. I wouldn't be surprised if we see K2SO-type robots in the final season of Rebels.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
In the Han Solo movie, or, you know, it's just like once they've established these and they have a digital model of it, yeah, you know, why not throw it in there?
Yeah.
And I saw that originally K2SO was supposed to be a black protocol droid, like a C-3PO, but he was black. And I saw a bunch of Doug Chang like drawings of how that was going to look. And I was disappointed that that didn't end up in the movie. But yeah, if it were up to me, one of those would show up in Han Solo or in, you know, in something.
Yeah, because, definitely.
Yeah, never throw away a really good design.
Yeah, see, and I guess I'm going to have to pull out the old story that I wrote. But yeah, I had, Darth Vader had a robot that he built that was a black protocol droid. Wrote a little story about that. I'm going to have to dust that off and bring it out here on the podcast, I guess.
Oh, yes, you've mentioned that before. You've teased that before.
I know. I keep talking about it. I guess I'm going to have to put my podcast where my mouth is or something. Because I ain't doing it for the money, that's for sure.
Well, hey, we've gone longer than I thought we were going to.
That's true. We've figured we'd only spend 10 minutes on the trailer, but
I was going to wrap up. We're not really talking about the trailer anymore, though. It's just two dudes talking about what's new in the Star Wars universe. Okay, so somebody puts a gun to your head and says, who's the last Jedi? What do you say?
I would say that Luke would be the last Jedi.
Okay.
That he's redefining what the Force is all about, and Rey will be a part of that, but it won't be rebuilding the Jedi as they were known before.
Yeah, and somebody somewhere said that Jedi could be plural, too. So Luke and Rey could be the last Jedi.
Oh, true.
But that seems like having your cake and eating it, too. Because, yeah, you're not allowed to do both. You make a cake, and then you just get to look at it. I don't know. Was there anything in that trailer? I just like, what was your favorite image of that trailer? Was anything that just stuck with you where you're just like, ooh, wow, well, I wasn't going to go see the movie before, but now I am.
Well, I don't know. I don't think there's anything that made me would watch the movie that I didn't want to before.
I was joking. I figured you were in no matter what.
I'm in, man. I still can't figure out what that image is in the middle of the trailer. It's like a map or something.
I assume that's Maz Kanata's hand, right?
Oh, okay. Because it comes right after Leia, doesn't it? Or is it after the helmet?
Well, there's the shot of Leia, the back of Leia's head, and then we see something that's from above. And I don't know what that is. And then I think we see a hand touching a map.
Yeah, it's like some books or something. Oh, I guess that could be Maz Kanata's hand, yeah. You know what I was thinking, too, when I watched this trailer was, I wonder if, for once, Leia or Carrie Fisher got to choose what kind of a hairstyle she wanted to have. Because she's always complaining about her hairstyle, you know, the baboon's butt and the buns and everything like that. I wonder if they ever said, okay, Carrie, what do you want? What kind of hairstyle do you want Leia to have? I wonder if they ever gave her that. Because she seems to have a new one in this one.
You know, it's possible that they had several sketches and said, okay, which of these do you like? And all that. But she was a pretty good sport about it. I remember her saying, you know, oh, I had that terrible, the buns on the side for almost that whole movie. And then Natalie Portman has 15 different hairstyles in one movie.
All right.
She sounded like she was actually kind of amused by that.
I think it'll be kind of bittersweet watching Last Jedi, because we'll know that that's the last footage of Carrie Fisher. It'll be kind of sad. Mark Hamill did a tribute to Carrie Fisher at the celebration going on. And yeah, there was parts of it where he kind of got choked up talking about her as well. But it's really well done. So I encourage you to watch that.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind putting a link to that in the show notes, that would be really cool.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, I think we've done a good job of kind of covering what's been going on.
Well, that's good.
Any last words about The Last Jedi?
Well, I wish I could remember the quote exactly. There's one thing I'm sure of. It's time for this podcast to end.
I support you in that.
But one more shot in there that you didn't ask me what shot. I was just like, ooh. There's a shot with R2-D2 and somebody. We see the back of their heads and they fall to their knees. And I felt like that was connected somehow to that shot we saw of Luke in the Force Awakens trailer where he puts his hand on R2's dome.
Oh, like a flashback.
Like maybe it was a flashback to when all of his students were wiped out or something like that. I don't know, of course. It could be someone other than Luke. But I remembered that. You know, the one shot we got of Luke in all of those Force Awakens trailers was that with the hand. And then this one just, I don't know. I complained endlessly about not knowing what was going on in Force Awakens. And it would be very neat if we got some flashbacks and got to see a little bit of stuff that we missed and a little bit of backstory and find out, you know, where Snoke came from and obviously where Rey came from and what Luke's been doing and, you know, some pieces of the puzzle that I felt were absent. And we've never had one that picks up immediately where the last one left off.
Yeah.
It was always at least a year in between movies, if not three. And so that'll be interesting, you know, to find out what Luke says. And if they jump forward in time, or if, you know, it's just they both take place right after one another, I guess like Rogue One and A New Hope do.
Yeah. Yeah, it could even be Kylo Ren in that shot, but I don't think
so. With R2?
Yeah.
Okay, well, assume that it is Kylo Ren. What's the context? Is this a flashback?
I would think it would be. Oh, no, it's probably Luke. Anyway. That could be. I think that would be a flashback. I think this will be where, I don't think we'll get all the answers, but I think there'll definitely be some explaining from Luke to Rey or whatever about what's going on, what happened with Kylo Ren and why he's been on his own for so long. But we shall see, I guess.
Yes, all of us shall see. And you will see more episodes of the Delusions of Grandeur podcast brought to you by Journey Into, brought to you by Spam. It has its own key.
Well, thanks, Rich Outfield, for talking about this with me.
Well, thanks, Marshall Latham, for taking time from your weekend. And let's not let too much time go by before we talk again. We've got other episodes that we want to talk about, and it's fun.
It is.
I think it's fun to hear what other people have to say and to just, you know, to hear myself talk, really. That it doesn't even have to be something recording. I'll just talk about Star Wars in an empty room.
No, it's definitely a good time every time we get together. So even if we don't have a lot of listeners or a lot of participation, at least we get to talk about Star Wars. So that's all good.
Well, give the telephone number one more time. If somebody wants to participate, if someone wants to take pity on us Tell us who the last Jedi is. Tell us what shot they liked in that. Tell us who their favorite bounty hunter is and why. Tell us their favorite color, and then just hang up and laugh.
Yes, they can call the voicemail line at 77J-107. They can also send us an email. They can even attach an audio to an email if they want to journeyintopodcast@gmail.com. You can comment on the forums at free forums.
Wait. At journeyinto.freeforums.org?
That's it. That's it. I wasn't sure if it was free forums first or after. But, yep, there's that. And there's Facebook and Twitter. There's no excuse. If you want to talk to us, you definitely can. So,
all right. Well, good luck. You're going to need it.
Yep. Talk to you next time. Don't get cocky.
I got him!
The Delusions of Grandeur podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. This means you can share it with anyone, but do not change it or sell it. Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Try that again. Okay. Okay, so the video that I have is 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Really? The video that I have is 2 minutes and 1 second.
Oh. It just probably has a longer ending. Let's see.
Well, tell me where to go. What? Here's your chance to tell me where to go.
Rish, let me tell you.
Your Tauntaun will freeze by the time you reach the first marker. There it is. Why, Felicity Jones isn't in this. Darn it.
No, she died on Scarif.
Spoilers, everyone, in case you're just joining us. The Death Star is also destroyed at the end of Star Wars. Huh, weird. I didn't know Anthony Hopkins and Mark Wahlberg were in... Oh, no, I'm watching the Transformers trailer!
Speaking of Mark Wahlberg, I was flipping channels the other day and saw The Happening on, and you had just posted that on the forum, so I was...
What? No!